Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Bihari Jai Om Shinpad, Paramahamsa, Parivada, Kacharya, Stotara, Sata, Sri, Srimad, His Divine Grace, Isi Bhakti Vedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda, Ki, Tai Gaura, Premanandi, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gaura. Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
This is weird. I thought this one out a little better. This is okay. Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 16, Text 5. And we're probably going to do a bunch of verses today. As many as we can get through, potentially completing the chapter. Oh, yeah, I can email it to you. There's only 5 slides. Yeah, I can email it. Oh, right now. You can figure that out. It's maybe a megabyte. I'm not getting internet now, so we might have to not do that. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so today we're beginning the impossible task of trying to describe the universe and what it looks like, its dimensions, how it's structured. It begins now, and we're trying to do something which is impossible. Nevertheless, Shukadev Goswami gives us something that we can present. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have a hope of trying to present anything about the universe. So Maharaj Pariksit, he's got 7 days before he dies. And I guess now we're in the fifth canto, so maybe on the third day, before, you know, maybe he's got 4 days left to live, and he's asking this question to Shukadev Goswami about, could you please describe Bhumandala in detail? Because by meditating on the external feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's mind can come to the platform of pure goodness, and in such a transcendental state, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is our attempt. We're trying to meditate on the external feature of Krishna. Okay, so we're starting with text 5. Okay. We'll just skip to Sanskrit and we'll just go kind of verse by verse, and we'll point out how the verses translate into these pictures so we can kind of follow along. Translation: the planetary system known as Bhumandala resembles a lotus flower, and its 7 islands resemble the whorl of that flower. The length and breadth of the island known as Jambudvip, which is situated in the middle of the whorl, are 1,000,000 yojanas, 8,000,000 miles. Jambudvip is round like the leaf of a lotus flower. Okay, so it's described here that the universe is shaped like a leaf of a lotus flower, pictured there on the top left. It's the round leaf, so it's kind of like a disc thing. And somewhere else it's described that it's the universe is like a kind of like an egg or a sphere. So that's the picture in the middle there. It's a big sphere. The portion known above the disc is, and or around the disc is known as the Brahmanda. And then the actual disc itself, that's the Bhumandala. That's the whitish gray yellow thing in the middle, and then the picture on the bottom right, that is Bhumandala at different angles. It's what we saw in the video last week. So we're just going to kind of go through it a little more slowly and systematically, see if we can try to understand it. In the middle of that disc, there's an island, which is the inner circle there on the very bottom right, with the cylinder coming out from the top. And that island in the middle there is called Jambudvip. Jambudvip. So that's what the title of this chapter is called, the description of Jambudvip. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So this island here, kind of circle your circular feature. That is Jambudvip. This is Brahmanda, right there. And then this is Brahmanda at different angles and different scales. Oops. Yes. So we'll get there. Jambudvip is not exactly Well, there's different ways to define the earth. Sometimes the earth is defined as Bhumandala, which is that entire plane. The plane is 500 million yojanas wide. So a yojana is 8 miles, so 500 million times eight. That's the diameter of the entire universe. The Bhumandala is actually a little shorter than that. It doesn't quite go all the way to the edges of the universe, but it's almost there, maybe 497 million yojanas. So that's Bhumandala, and sometimes the earth is described as that. So like in the pastime of Lord Varaha, you know, we hear how Lord Varaha picked up the earth when it was inundated by water, after Lord Brahma woke up, and okay, we got to start another day here. Lord Varaha lifted up the universe, and he didn't just lift up the globe, earth, planet as we know it today, but he actually lifted up Bhumandala. And the reason he was able to do that was because if Bhumandala were like the same length as the diameter of the universe, it wouldn't have anywhere to fall to. It's described that the earth planet actually fell, and it kind of got submerged in the waters of devastation at the end of the day of Lord Brahma. And then the next day, Lord Varaha appeared, and he actually lifted up that Bhumandala plane up back to its position. So that's one way to describe the earth. Then there's the earth as just here it's just like in the middle of Jambudvip on the southern island. So that circle there in the middle, that's Jambudvip. It's the same circle here, but just zoomed in a little bit. And the very bottom section region of that Jambudvip island is Bharatavarsha. And sometimes that region is described that is like the earth globe. It's situated in that region on the bottom there. Also, sometimes that's also referred to as India, you know, specifically South Central Asia. So there's different ways of looking at it, and there's different descriptions. Bhumandala is the entire middle planetary system. That's right, as described here. Are we clear on that so far? Okay. And then, so it says here that there's seven islands resembling the whorl of that flower. So there are seven. So the islands, they're in concentric circles around Jambudvip. So there's seven islands. So here's Jambudvip, and here's an island. Or here's the water around Jambudvip. So Jambudvip is considered an island. And around Jambudvip is a kind of an ocean of salt water. And then there's another region here, which is another island known as Plakshadvip. You can see there, if you're following on the left, there's a table. So Plakshadvip refers to this next set of concentric circles here, which is a Plakshadvip. And then right outside there is another ocean called Ikshurasoda, which is like, I think it's made of sugar cane juice or something. Each of these island, you know, oceans, it goes land, ocean, land, ocean, land, ocean, almost all the way out to the edge of the universe. So each, and it gets like thicker as it goes out. So each region gets thicker as you go out. So like there's islands made of salt water, sugar cane juice, liquor, yogurt, all kinds of different, you know, substances. So that's what's being described here, and that's what's being said here. Yes, Imanchu. Yeah. What's being described here is the, so It goes out to the last ocean is called Svadutaka, and that's, I think, this ocean right here. Then there's this ring of mountains around that called Lokaloka. Lokaloka mountains. And Loka means inhabited. So basically everything within Lokaloka mountains, that's the inhabited region of the universe. And then there's a region outside of Lokaloka mountains known as Alokavarsha, which is the uninhabited region of the universe. And that extends out pretty far. Maybe to the, I'm not sure if it's to the edge of the universe or to the end of Bhumandala. This one. This. It looks like it extends, yes. So then there's outside of this, those then you get the coverings of the universe. So that's not described here, it seems. That the coverings of the universe are different than this. So what I'm describing ends here, and then I think the covering of the universe is after that. Sounds right. Okay. Any questions on this? We'll move on to the next verse. Text 6. In Jambudvip, there are 9 divisions of land, each with the length of 9,000 yojanas, or 72,000 miles. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely. Purport. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following quotation from the Vayu Purana, wherein the locations of the various mountains, beginning with the Himalayas, are described. Okay, we'll not read that long Sanskrit. Prabhupada doesn't translate it, so we don't know exactly what's being said there. But I'm assuming it's some details about how the mountains are arranged in Jambudvip. And later on in the chapter, we'll get more details about where the mountains are positioned and how they're structured. So This is Jambudvip. This is just different angles of Jambudvip here. So here's again the Jambudvip with Mount Sumeru in the middle. And this is just looking at Mount Sumeru or Jambudvip from the side, from the ocean of salt water. And I think we can go ahead and read text 7. Translation, amidst these divisions or varshas is the varsha named Ilavrita, which is situated in the middle of the whorl of the lotus. So Ilavrita is the region right next to Mount Sumeru. It's inside these 4 mountain ranges. These black lines with little spiky, they're mountains in the diagram. And this gold circle here is Mount Sumeru, that big long cylinder. And then the region, the land region right around Mount Sumeru, that's called Ilavrita Varsha. Within Ilavrita Varsha is Sumeru Mountain, which is this gold circle there. And it's a big, huge thing. That's like the axle of the entire universe. That's what. Okay. Sumeru Mountain is like a paricarp of the lotus-like Bhumandala planetary system. The mountain's height is the same as the width of Jambudvip, or in other words, 100,000 yojanas. Of that, 16,000 yojanas are within the earth, and therefore the mountain's height above the earth is 84,000 yojanas. The mountain's width is 32,000 yojanas at its summit and 16,000 yojanas at its base. Okay, so that's probably best pictured here. So the diameter of Jambudvip is the same as the height of the Mount Sumeru mountain, and a small portion of it's actually beneath the plain there, as shown here. So some of it extends below that Jambudvip, and most of it's up high. And it gives its dimensions as having a larger diameter at the top than at the bottom, so it's kind of like a upside down cone. What's that? It floats pretty nicely, yeah. So, not talked about here is holding up the Sumeru mountain as an antashesha and then stabilizing it, because it's, you know, I would imagine it'd be pretty hard to balance. There's four large elephants that kind of keep it upright. So that's not pictured here. That might come later. But okay. Where is it? Well, we're down there in Bhartavarsha. This is Jambadvip. We're down there in Bhartavarsha. What's that? Man, it's described like that in some places. Some other places it's described as it's India, but some places it's the whole Earth globe. So then, north of that, millions of, or, you know, however many thousands of yojanas want to do the math, that's where Mount Sumeru is. I could give you probably a number if I had some time to calculate how many yojanas, because each of these mountain ranges is, I think, something like, later it's described, 16,000 miles. So this is the width of these black lines here are mountain ranges, and they're 16,000 miles. So you can kind of calculate how far away we are from Mount Sumeru if you really want to. Well, Bhartavarsha used to be known as Ilavritavarsha. Yeah, before Bharat Maharaj was on this planet, it was known as Ilavritavarsha. But this region here, right next to Mount Sumeru, is also known as Ilavritavarsha. So, I don't know the history of how the Earth globe used to be called Ilavritavarsha, or the Earth planet, or whatever, however you define that. I don't know the history. I think that's what we saw in the... Were you here for the video, Mysteries of the Sacred Universe? No, Ilavritavarsha is the area right around Mount Sumeru. Okay. All right. Any other questions on this verse? Okay, we'll go on to the next one, text 8. Just north of Ilavritavarsha and going further northward, one after another, are three mountains named Nila, Sveta, and Sringavan. Okay, so now we're describing Jambudvip here. It's a simplified drawing. There's a mountain range, Nila, Sveta, and Sringavan, going northwards from Ilavritavarsha, which is here. Okay. These mark the borders of the three varshas named Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, and Kuru. Okay, there you go. Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru. And separate them from one another. The width of these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, or 16,000 miles. Lengthwise, they extend east and west to the beaches of the ocean of salt water. So that's how, where we can see here, east and west, they extend all the way to the oceans, different mountain ranges. Going from south to north, the length of each mountain is 1/10 that of the previous mountain, but the height of them all is the same. So all these mountains here that are going lengthwise, you know, east to west, are all the same height. Okay. So, purport. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses from the Brahmanda Purana. Yata bhagavate tuktam bhovanam kosha lakshanam tasyavi rodhata yojam anya grantantare stitam. Mando te puranam chaiva vyatyasam kshirasagare rahu soma ravinam cha mandala dvi gundo titam vinaiva sarvam uneyam yojana bhedato tratu. It appears from these verses that aside from the sun and moon, there is an invisible planet called Rahu. The movements of Rahu cause both solar and lunar eclipses. We suggest that modern expeditions attempting to reach the moon are mistakenly going to Rahu. So, John, so we didn't go to the moon, we went to Rahu. Maybe. If we went anywhere, it might have been Rahu. That's that dark planet that covers the sun and the moon when we see the eclipses, solar and lunar eclipses. That's called Rahu. I'm not sure. Dark. Okay, like that. So, okay, any questions on this one? Like a prison. Right, right. If you're in Bharatavarsha, you're not going to get to Kimpurusha Varsha, you know, very easily, because you got this huge mountainous range that's preventing you from going anywhere. So generally people just stayed in their little regions of the universe that they're in, and they're happy there. Sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're not, but they can't really do anything about it because of these huge mountain ranges. And they're very, very tall. Okay, anything else on this? Sure. You mean like the different regions of the universe? Or what are you talking about being in different dimensions? Well, there's four different models of how to describe the universe, which are being like put together in like one composition. So what are you... Yeah. Such things exist. And in gross bodies? That might be true, I don't know. It's described later that their bodies don't get old, diseased, they don't smell bad. They look beautiful. I don't know if there's a description about it being only subtle. I know Lord Brahma's body is completely pure intelligence. So maybe there's something like that. But in Brahma's case, I know that's true. His body's composed of intelligence only. Maybe their environment's also kind of subtle, and therefore we can't perceive it, like by our gross instruments. That's possible, because we're certainly not seeing this. I mean, when you look in a telescope, or modern scientists, when they're using to look at the universe, they're not seeing this. So, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. We're here, down here somewhere. Got it? Okay. Okay, text 9. Similarly, south of Ilavritavarsha and extending from east to west are three great mountains, named from north to south, Nishadha, Himakuta, and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. So these are how high these mountains are, 80,000 miles. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, and Bharata Varsha. There you go. So same thing, but on the south, Nishadha, Himakuta, Himalaya, Harivarsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, and Bharata Varsha. Where are we? It depends. You know, sometimes when the Bharata Varsha is described as India or South Central Asia, then the Himalayas actually is the mountain that we see. So this Himalaya is probably, seemingly different. Although a point can be made that we haven't really measured how high or how big the Himalaya mountains actually is. I mean, I think Prabhupada might make a point later on that in the next paragraph. Yeah, so in the next, we'll read the next verse. In the same way, west and east of Ilavarta Varsha are two great mountains named Malayavan and Gantamadana, respectively. These two mountains, which are 2,000 yojanas high, 16,000 miles only, not very big, extend as far as Nila Mountain in the north and Nishadha in the south. They indicate the borders of Ilavarta Varsha and also the Varshas known as Ketumala and Padrashva. So Ketumala is here, Malayavan, Ilavarta Varsha in the middle. This mountain range here going north-south is Gantamadana and Padrashva. Okay, purport. There are so many mountains even on this planet Earth. We do not think that the measurements of all of them have actually been calculated. While passing over the mountainous region from Mexico to Caracas, we actually saw so many mountains that we doubt whether their height, length, and breadth have been properly measured. Therefore, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami, we should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous areas of the universe merely by our calculations. Shukadeva Goswami has already stated that such calculations would be very difficult even if one had a duration of life like that of Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of authorities like Shukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas or 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they have been given by Shukadeva Goswami. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. So that's the answer to your question. The theme of the chapter, right? Just be satisfied with what's been given to us. And yeah. So we can't verify or disprove the statements of the Bhagavatam with our instruments used to measure things. So we can't prove or disprove. So it's very difficult to compare what modern scientists' view of the universe is and what the Srimad Bhagavatam's view of the universe is. It's like you can't compare them so easily. Okay, so text 11. On the four sides of the great mountain known as Sumeru are four mountains, Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, which are like its belts. The length and height of these mountains are calculated to be 10,000 yojanas or 80,000 miles. So these little dots here, just next to Mount Sumeru, are these four mountains, Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshvara, and Kumuda. And their lengths and dimensions are given here, in case you're curious. Standing like flagstaffs on the summits of these four mountains. So here's zoomed in. Now there's Mount Sumeru in the middle, and then zoomed in, we have these four mountains that I just talked about, or that were just mentioned here. Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshvara is on the other side, or maybe on one of the sides, and then Kumuda. And then on top of these mountains, standing like flagstaffs on the summits of these four mountains, are a mango tree, rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. So So you see here, here's the trees. And then those trees are calculated to have a width of 800 miles and a height of 8,800 miles. Their branches also spread to a radius of 1,100 yojanas. So this drawing is to scale, by the way. So this is what it looks like. I didn't do this. This was in the video. Okay, so texts 13 and 14. O Maharaj Pariksit, best of the Bharata dynasty, between these four mountains are four huge lakes. Oops. So we see lakes in this picture. And the water of the first tastes like milk, the water of the second like honey, and that of the third like sugarcane juice. The fourth lake is filled with pure water. The celestial beings such as the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who are also known as demigods, enjoy the facilities of those four lakes. Consequently, they have the natural perfections of mystic yoga, such as the power to become smaller than the smallest or greater than the greatest. There are also four celestial gardens named Nandana, Chaitrarata, Vibrajaka, and Sarvatopadra. This is where the demigods are. A lot of the demigods are residing in this Ilavrita Varsha. Text 15. The best of the demigods, along with their wives, who are like ornaments of heavenly beauty, meet together and enjoy within those gardens while their glories are sung by lesser demigods known as Gandharvas. So that's what's going on in this region. Yeah, a lot of very, very high quality sense gratification. Text 16. On the lower slopes of Mandara Mountain is a mango tree named Devachuta. It is 1,100 yojanas high. Mangoes as big as mountain peaks and as sweet as nectar fall from the top of this tree for the enjoyment of the denizens of heaven. Purport in the Vayu Purana, there is also a reference to this tree by great learned sages. It's quoted. Okay, text 17. When all those solid fruits fall from such a height, they break, and the sweet, fragrant juice within them flows out and becomes increasingly more fragrant as it mixes with other scents. That juice cascades from the mountain in waterfalls and becomes a river called Arunodha, which flows pleasantly through the eastern side of Ilavrita. I'm not sure if that's what this is. The eastern side. Saying that the juice from the mangoes, they break. And I don't know if that's what this is or not. I'm not sure. But it's saying here that there's a river called Arunodha, which flows out of Ilavrita Varsha through the eastern side of Ilavrita. I don't know. Okay. Text 18. The pious wives of the Yakshas act as personal maidservants to assist Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva. Because they drink the water of the river Arunodha, their bodies become fragrant, and as the air carries away that fragrance, it perfumes the entire atmosphere for 80 miles around. Text 19. Similarly, the fruits of the Jambu tree, which are full of pulp and have very small seeds, fall from a great height and break to pieces. Those fruits are the size of elephants, and the juice gliding from them becomes a river named Jambunadi. This river falls a distance of 10,000 yojanas from the summit of Meru Mandara to the southern side of Ilavrita and floods the entire land of Ilavrita with juice. Okay, so this one doesn't actually go through these mountainous regions around Ilavrita, but I think they're just within Ilavrita, these rivers that we're talking, rivers of juice. Purport, we can only imagine how much juice there might be in a fruit that is the size of an elephant, but has a very tiny seed. Naturally, the juice from the broken jambu fruits forms waterfalls and floods the entire land of Ilavrita. That juice produces an immense quantity of gold. as will be explained in the next verses. Okay. I don't know, the next verse has a really long purport. So maybe we could just... Is there any questions on any of this? There's 29 verses. We might as well just finish it, because it's... So I'll just read through it, and I'm not going to be able to speak much about it, because it's kind of... Okay, all right, we'll go ahead and finish the chapter. So we'll do text 20 and 21. Translation: the mud on both banks of the river Jambunadi, being moistened by the flowering juice, by the flowing juice, and then dried by the air and the sunshine, produces huge quantities of gold called Jambunada. The denizens of heaven use this gold for various kinds of ornaments. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and their youthful wives are fully decorated with golden helmets, bangles, and belts, and thus they enjoy life. Purport: by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the rivers on some planets produce gold on their banks. The poor inhabitants of this earth, because of their incomplete knowledge, are captivated by a so-called Bhagavan who can produce a small quantity of gold. However, it is understood that in a higher planetary system in this material world, the mud on the banks of the Jambu Nadi mixes with Jambu juice, reacts with the sunshine in the air, and automatically produces huge quantities of gold. Thus, the men and women are decorated there by various golden ornaments, and they look very nice. Unfortunately, on Earth there is such a scarcity of gold that the governments of the world try to keep it in reserve and issue paper currency. Because that currency is not backed up by gold, the paper they distribute as money is worthless. But nevertheless, the people on Earth are very proud of material advancement. In modern times, girls and ladies have ornaments made of plastic instead of gold, and plastic utensils are used instead of golden ones. Yet people are very proud of their material wealth. Therefore, the people of this age are described as Munda Sumunda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadrutaha. In other words, they are extremely bad and slow to understand the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have been described as Sumanda Mataya because their conceptions are so crippled that they accept a bluffer who produces a little gold to be God. Because they have no gold in their possessions, they are actually poverty-stricken, and therefore they are considered unfortunate. Sometimes these unfortunate people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets to achieve fortunate positions, as described in this verse. But pure devotees of the Lord are not at all interested in such opulence. Indeed, devotees sometimes compare the color of gold to that of bright golden stool. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed devotees not to be allured by golden ornaments and beautifully decorated women. Najanam najanam nasundarim. A devotee should not be allured by gold, beautiful women, or the prestige of having many followers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confidentially prayed, Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahitaki tvayi. My Lord, please bless me with your devotional service. I do not want anything else. A devotee may pray to be delivered from this material world. That is his only aspiration. Nayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavamudho kripaya tava padapankacha stita duli sadrisham vinchintaya. The humble devotee simply prays to the Lord, kindly pick me up from the material world, which is full of varieties of material opulence, and keep me under the shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nanda Sutta, Vrishabhanu Sutta Yuta, Karuna Karaha E Bharo, Narottam Dasakaya, Na Teliha Rangapaya, Toma Vina Keachayamara. O my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, now you are standing before me with your consort, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Kindly accept me as the dust of your lotus feet. Please do not kick me away, for I have no other shelter. Similarly, Prabodhananda Saraswati indicates that the position of the demigods, who are decorated with golden helmets and other ornaments, is no better than a phantasmagoria. A devotee is never allured by such opulences. He simply aspires to become the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, any questions? Okay, we'll move on to the next verse. Next verse, text 22. On the side of Supashva Mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the hollows of this tree flow rivers of honey, each about 5 yamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Supashva Mountain and flows all around Ilavritavarsha, beginning from the western side. Thus the whole land is saturated with pleasing fragrance. Purport, the distance between one hand and another, when one spreads both his arms, is called Vyama. This comes to about 8 feet. Thus each of the rivers was about 40 feet wide, making a total of about 200 feet. That's like minuscule. These are like, compared to the size of the rivers and we were talking about earlier, this is very, very tiny. I mean, yeah, but still, considering the size of the other rivers, this is like hardly anything. Anyway, text 23. The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around. Text 24. Similarly, on Kumuda Mountain, there's a great banyan tree which is called Shatavatsya, because it has 100 main branches. From those branches come many roots, from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavritavarsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, ghee, molasses, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are very happy. Purport, the prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demoniac civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. The products of nature are sufficient. When there is a profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghee, molasses, dhoti, saris, bedding, sitting places, and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. When a profuse supply of water from the river inundates the land, all these things can be produced, and there will not be scarcity. This all depends, however, on the performance of sacrifice as described in the Vedic literature. Anad bhavanti bhutani, parjanyad anna sambhavaha, yagyad bhavati parjanyo, yagya karma samud bhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. These are the prescriptions given in Bhagavad Gita 3.14. If people follow these principles in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous, and they will be happy both in this life and in the next. Okay. This?
Where is Kumuda Mountain? Is it 23 or 24?
Kumuda Mountain is, I think it's on the north side. So I think it's this one here, this dot. And on top of that, that mountain is a big, huge banyan tree from which many, many rivers flow. Okay. Text 25. The residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies and no gray hair. They never feel fatigue, and perspiration does not give their bodies a bad odor. They are not afflicted by old age, disease, or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly cold or scorching heat, nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily without anxieties until death. Purport, this verse hints at the perfection of human society even within this material world. The miserable conditions of this material world can be corrected by a sufficient supply of milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, molasses, food grains, ornaments, bedding, sitting places, and so on. This is human civilization. Ample food grains can be produced through agricultural enterprises, and profuse supplies of milk, yogurt, and ghee can be arranged through cow protection. Abundant honey can be obtained if the forests are protected. Unfortunately, in modern civilization, men are busy killing the cows that are the source of yogurt, milk, and ghee. They are cutting down all the trees that supply honey, and they're opening factories to manufacture nuts, bolts, automobiles, and wine, instead of engaging in agriculture. How can the people be happy? They must suffer from all the misery of materialism. Their bodies become wrinkled and gradually deteriorate until they become almost like dwarves, and a bad odor emanates from their bodies because of unclean perspiration resulting from eating all kinds of nasty things. This is not human civilization. If people actually want happiness in this life and want to prepare for the best in the next life, they must adopt a Vedic civilization. In a Vedic civilization, there is a full supply of all the necessities mentioned above. Okay, text 26. There are other mountains beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filaments around the whorl of a lotus flower. Their names are Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumpa, Vaikunka, Trikuta, Shishira, Patanga, Ruchaka, Nishadha, Sinivas, Kapila, Shankha, Vaidurya, Jarudhi, Hunksa, Rishabha, Naga, Kalanjara, and Narada. So they're beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filaments. It could be all these little mountains that we see. I'm thinking, because there's so many of them. These are the like little mountains around the foot of Mount Meru. Text 27, on the eastern side of Sumeru Mountain are two mountains named Jatara and Devakuta, which extend to the north and south for 18,000 yojanas, or 144,000 miles. I believe these are eastern side, so these two mountains here, this one and this one. Now we're talking about these mountains, which are still within Ilavritam Farsha. Similarly, on the western side of Sumeru are two mountains named Pavana and Pariyatra, which also extend north and south for the same distance. Same over here. That's right.
Out of all the...
Well, this is one chapter. It seems like we're going to be learning a lot about the universe. This is just where it starts. I don't know. Okay. On the southern side of Sumeru are two mountains named Kailash and Karavira, which are not shown in this picture, which are here. And on the northern side of Sumeru, extending for the same distance east and west, are two mountains named Trishringa and Makara. The width and height of these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles high. Sumeru, a mountain of solid gold, shining as brilliantly as fire, is surrounded by these eight mountains. So, easier to see here, the different mountain structures. Okay, text 28, second to last verse. In the middle of the summit of Meru is the township of Lord Brahma. Okay, now we're going to talk about Meru, and where Lord Brahma lives. Each of its four sides is calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas, 80 million miles. It is made entirely of gold, and therefore learned scholars and sages call it Shatakaumbhi. So, this township here, that's where Lord Brahma lives. This is on the very top of Sumeru Mountain. So there's like a little city up here. A little big city up here. And in the middle of that city is this place called this township called Shatakaumbhi. which is where Lord Brahma resides. What's that? Tapaloka. It's Brahmaloka, I think. I'm not sure. Might be Tapaloka. I don't know. Do you know? I can't remember.
Loka. Tapaloka. Maybe Sattaloka or Brahmaloka.
Brahmaloka. Yeah, I'm not sure.
He doesn't live in Tapaloka.
Yeah, Lord Brahma does not live in Tapaloka. Okay. Final verse, text 29. Surrounding Brahmapuri, in all directions are the residences of the eight principal governors of the planetary systems, beginning with King Indra. These abodes are similar to Brahmapuri, but are one-fourth the size. So here we see other townships surrounding. You can kind of see it in this picture a little bit, these little white dots around the main white brick in the middle. They're different cities that the different, I guess, chief demigods inhabit, including King Indra. They're just smaller cities. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that the townships of Lord Brahma and the eight subordinate governors of the planetary systems, beginning with Indra, are mentioned in other Puranas. Brahma's township is known as Manovati, and those of his assistants, such as Indra and Agni, are known as Amaravati, Tejovati, Samyamani, Krishnangana, Shadhavati, Kandhavati, Mahodaya, and Ushovati. Brahmapuri is situated in the middle, and the other eight puris surround it in all directions. So that's a quote from the Puranas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of Jamadvip. Okay. We'll end here. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki. I have a